Welcome to the Eden Assignment, sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Institute. Nominate your martial arts hero for the 2020 AMAA Legends Awards Banquet. Visit our website, www.whoshointhemartialarts.com.
Blog Talk Radio. Hi again, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I am Karen Eden, and I have a thought I want you to think on for this week, and that is, you know, you've heard the saying that tough times make you strong, but I want to take that a step further and let you know that tough times can make you powerful. I have a special guest with me right now. This is Jason Hicks. Hi, Jason.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
You're absolutely welcome. I want to give a little bit of background on Jason. I was actually heading up all the programs in the inner city through an organization. It was a community center, and it actually was a very troubled community center in many ways. But Jason was very rare because he's one of these individuals who literally walked off the street and wanted to meet with me and just put himself at my disposal and say, listen, I want to work with kids that are less fortunate, and what can I do, and how can I help you? And that's pretty much how Jason came into the picture with working with inner city kids. As far as I knew, I was teaching a martial arts program there and also overseeing a lot of the other programs. So, you know, if you do that, Jason, you know now, if you just walk in and say, how can I help? You're going to be put to work, right?
This is true. Absolutely.
Yeah, that is true. Of course, Jason, I know that you were a college ball player, but you were a soccer player. Is that right? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's correct. Soccer is what kept me on the straight and narrow. Growing up, I was in a single mom home in a rough area in Southern California. And so soccer was kind of where life made more sense to me. Didn't have the drama and all the other stuff that life had and the difficulties and all that kind of stuff. Once that whistle blew, life made sense to me, and I could just have fun and be myself. And
right.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I started playing when I was about 6 years old, and I worked my way up the ranks. I ended up playing high school ball, varsity ball, and I got a scholarship to play soccer in Missouri. And so I spent 3 years in Missouri playing soccer and going to college. And then when I ended up growing up, and soccer has always been my passion. So I'm still doing that today.
Right. And, you know, what you said is very interesting. A lot of people who have done any type of athletics will tell you that there's just something about being able to play a particular sport and the discipline and the focus that can come with that sport, including soccer, including martial arts, football, wrestling. There's a lot of good sports out there, can oftentimes keep kids off the street who come from troubled backgrounds. And this is not a unique story, but anyway, people out there who teach martial arts, and I know I got a lot of listeners who teach martial arts, they know that very well themselves. I'm sure they could vouch for the fact that martial arts was a lifesaver for them. And, you know, it's just something that it's a different type of field, mental field, whenever you play sports. And so that's very understandable. And so when you say that, Jason, you grew up from a broken home, are you telling me your parents were divorced?
No, so my father was killed by a drunk driver shortly before my sixth birthday. And my mom's been since remarried multiple times, but none of them really, you know, were up for the task of being a father. It was more of just a, you know, getting married, that kind of thing. So I was pretty much on my own to figure a lot of those life lessons out.
Right. Well, I appreciate you telling that, and you know, I often talk with some of my other friends who came from backgrounds that weren't necessarily the best. And I think you're part of the generation that I grew up in, too. And a lot of people, you know, that's not necessarily a millennial, grew up, too, where their parents, at least one parent may have been present. But then again, in a lot of ways, they weren't present. Sometimes, you know, particular parents, they just get so focused on themselves and their own problems that the kids kind of take a back seat or on the back burner. And obviously, a lot of parents don't want to be alone, and they'll do anything to get remarried. And, you know, that saga can continue over and over again. And then a lot of parents turn to alcohol, and so many things are brought into the picture where I personally feel that it was more of a selfish journey for a lot of parents, where they really were more interested in what they needed as opposed to what was in the best interest of the child. But that, you know what, that's my personal opinion. But I do respect what you're saying, and I certainly do appreciate your honesty, Jason. I actually have never sat down and talked with you like this, so I did not know these things, even though you were literally working in one of my programs several years ago to help less fortunate kids. But I do know also that a lot of the people who come in literally off the street and just go, how can I help? They really do have a story. A lot of times where it's just in their heart because of the way they grew up, and they want to be able to help other kids. And I'm raising my hand with that because that's exactly what I did. That's exactly what I did. And, you know, God ended up blessing me, and I wanted to be able to help other kids and young people coming up, which is why I did what I did as well. So, Jason, you went on with your life. And you got married and everything. And tell me a little bit about your journey with you and your wife and having a family and that kind of thing.
Sure. We met in 2000 and I'm going to be in trouble. I'm going to say 2002. And I ended up going to college in Missouri at a Bible college. I was still new in the faith. I hadn't learned about all the different doctrines and theology and all the different denominations and that kind of thing. I just knew that I was going to go to college in Missouri for little to no costs. And to me, that sounded like a great plan. But turned out after getting through all the introductory courses of the college that they were of the denomination of the Church of Christ, which is a very different from the background that I became a Christian in as an adult. And so ended up leaving the college and packed up my $500 Ford rusted out Escort and drove all the way from Missouri to California and knocked on my now wife's door of her parents' house. And I said, I want to be officially your boyfriend. And that's what we did. And so she said, yes, it was great. And then I went home and took a nap. And we dated for about a year. Officially in the same state, and then we got married in 2005.
Tell me more, because you know what I'm trying to get at. Yeah.
So we married in 2005. I was working at a K-12 Calvary Chapel Christian school as an elementary athletic director and PE instructor. Yada yada yada. I did all the fun stuff for the school, and my wife was figuring out life, what she wanted to do. But over the course of about a year, the economy went down the drain really bad in California, and we both lost our jobs. And so we didn't have anything sticking us to California, so my wife and I had a big yard sale, packed up our dogs, and moved to Colorado. And we've been here since 2008. I got into construction. I'm an electrician now. My wife works at the University Hospital as a surgical technician, and we live now outside of Denver in the town of Byers, and we have 3 acres and a little farm, and we've been unable to have children naturally. We've been through every fertility process possible, spent a lot of money that we don't honestly have, but our dream to have children was so great that we were pursuing every avenue, and we have what is called unknown infertility. They basically say everything you have seems to be working functionally and all your levels seem fine. And if you want to continue paying us tens of thousands of dollars, we could probably get you pregnant eventually. And so after 6 years of doing that, our hearts were broken and hurting. And we just started praying, God, give us, you know, obviously your timing and your planning is different than ours. If we wanted to have a child by now, if you want us to have a child by now, we would have had one. And it didn't work out that way. And so we were just praying, and we went to my wife's best friend's daughter's birthday party, and she was 4 at the time. She had just turned 5. And we left the birthday party at this little swimming place, and we sat down, and we just cried together. And it was just because we go to birthday parties and all these things, but we don't have that child. And so we prayed, God, can we, if there's a 5-year-old child out there, I mean, it'd be so much fun to see, you know, whatever, God, we're open to whatever you have. And within 2 weeks, we got a phone call from a friend of ours back in California. And this was late October-ish. And they had a 4-year-old son who, a 4-year-old child in their family. And he's bounced around every tree, every branch of the family tree. And no one wanted him. And so my wife flew out there and met them a couple times, made sure that it wasn't a scam and it wasn't crazy people. It was just an overwhelmed family with a little boy. And we ended up bringing him home Valentine's Day in 2014. And we've had him ever since. Oh, I'm sorry,
okay,
2015.
So
we
have
adopted
an
him.
Child. Okay,
yes.
Very good. Jason, I want to just really hit on something, because the last time that we did talk, I know you were very heavy-hearted about the fact that you all couldn't conceive, because I know you wanted kids really bad, and you've given so much into kids in every way. And I know that was a heavy burden for you guys, and I don't want to underplay that at all. The reason why I'm having you on the show today is because I want to tie you in to what I'm talking about, is tough times don't just make you strong. They make you very powerful. If you can apply the action behind whatever the toughness of your life is, you're going to find out, A, that something miraculous really does take place inside of your psyche, and B, when you're expending love behind something that's so painful for you, you really do start your life, and your journey and your life takes on a whole new flavor. And I don't know if that makes sense or not, but I'm sure it makes sense to you, and I'm sure that you can understand what I'm talking about. You know, everybody has a journey, and on that journey is good times and bad times. And I always say nobody gets through this world without some sort of share of pain. I have people who say their lives have not been that painful. But then again, I've done a show on this. I've had the same people who have not had anything great in their life. So I don't know if it goes like that, or you go through something to be elevated into greatness. I'm not real sure exactly how that plays in. And I'm not knocking anybody who's had a great life. Congratulations. But the most of us have had some kind of struggle somewhere in our life, including the both of us. And so you're taking your pain, and I didn't know you were going through this when you came into the inner city, which literally was the ghetto. I mean, Jason, I'm not kidding. How many times did I tell you, be careful when you walk in this building and you walk out, because, you know, I think you were there when I had 3 drive-by shootings right outside that center. You were all part of that scene, right? Weren't you coming during that time?
Yeah, I mean, if you were to Google San Bernardino, California, where I grew up was not all that different from inner city Denver.
That makes sense why you were the only one who wasn't scared. Because I'm telling you, I had pastors from churches around that area who would come in and sit down and go, well, we would like to help. I said, okay, well, I got a problem with gang issues here, and I've got people dying in the streets, and these are just kids. Can you have someone come in and help out with that and help teach these younger kids and stuff with these problems going on? And I literally never saw them again after that. It would be very rare that someone would not be fearful to want to come in and help out. And you were one of those people who were literally fearless. So given your background, I can understand why you are wired the way that you are. But Jason, you know, usually when someone wants kids really bad and they can't have them, it's a very sensitive spot to go in and work with little kids, okay? And you are literally working with little kids. little ethnic kids from the community who didn't even know how to kick a soccer ball, and I think I had you teach football or something one time, something like that, and they didn't know how to hold a football. They didn't know anything. They didn't have parents who had the time or ability to expend in our program. They didn't have the money to join normal programs. And, you know, you came in and regularly and helped with these kids after you got off work as an electrician, and I know that's a full day's job. My husband's an electrician. I'm fully aware of, you know, what that entails sometimes, depending on the job. But, you know, I think my point that I want to really drive home now is you didn't run from that pain. You came in and you faced it by teaching everybody else's little kid. And I can see that, you know, you've done that many, many, many times over. And like you said, you went to a little kid's birthday party and it broke your heart. You guys wanted to cry. You were seeing little 4, 5, 6-year-olds every time you came in and worked with me, because that's the kids that I gave you. So, Jason, I'm wondering, where did you get, first of all, that strength to look that in the eye in the first place?
So growing up without a father, you know, you're in elementary school and you're in junior high school, and they talk about what you want to be when you grow up. Like, what are you going to be, a doctor or a professional athlete or whatever? Mine was always, my answer was always, I might not have written this down because I didn't want to, you know, be vulnerable with the teacher or with my classmates, but my goal was, my dream was always just to be a father. I just want to be a father. I remember being on the field and looking to the sidelines and wishing my dad was there cheering me on, or picking me up when I scored the game-winning goal, or being my coach, or any of those things, or teaching me how to throw a football, or teaching about the birds and the bees. All I wanted was a father. And so I spent my whole childhood, and honestly, I'm an adult. I'm 38 years old, and I still have these thoughts sometimes where if my father was still alive, he would have done this. Or if my father was around, he would have been there for me for this, or, you know, that kind of thing. And so my passion has always just to be a father. And so growing up, I mean, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, so I didn't think about it being anything more than just being a literally biological father. I never had the thought that it could be more than that. But when I became a Christian at 20 years old, I realized that God had put me through training that no other guy that I had met of my age had been through, knowing the abandonment, knowing the pain, knowing the hurt, knowing just the frustration of being different and not having a father or uncle or a big brother or whatever. And so that specialized training that I received didn't kill me. It made me stronger. And so for the past 18 years, that has been my calling in this world. Whether it's helping with homework or patching bike tires or coaching soccer, whatever it is, I want these boys that I bump into in the most random ways possible to know that there's someone out there who roots for them and cheers for them and believes in them. And when they say, I'll be there to pick you up at this time, they're always there to pick you up. And that's not just busy with the car, but yeah.
Yeah, I know. And I want to talk about that program. So your circumstances made you stronger. And a lot of times those circumstances, they make people weaker. They become drug addicts. They become alcoholics because of the situation that they came out of. But there are people that will become stronger because of their circumstances. And so you ended up starting a program for children. And so tell me about this program over the last 6 years that you started.
Yeah, so shortly after leaving working with all you great guys at Five Points, I had some friends at my church that I went to in Aurora, and they had what they called the Just Show Up Ministry. There was a low-income international refugee, Hispanic, whatever, just over the low-income area in East Colfax, and there's an apartment complex there. And what they would do is they would just show up on a Wednesday night and just help out with whatever they can do, whether it was unwobbling a table or helping with homework or braiding hair or whatever. They would just show up and love on these people that live there. And when people would ask, well, why do you guys keep coming back? Why do you guys do this? And the answer would always be, well, Jesus says to love our neighbors, and you're our neighbors, and we just want you to know that we love you and Jesus loves you, and we're glad you're here. And so Dan and Jeff invited my wife and I to come out there, and she brought some nail polish and some hair barrettes, and I brought a soccer ball because I heard that there was this dirt lot in the back of it, and there was boys playing there. And went there for the first time, and this was early 2013, and I was just amazed that I felt like I was transported to a third world country. There was African and Asian and Middle Eastern and all these different ages and heights and ethnicities and languages being spoke, but they were playing on a dirt lot with what looked like a soccer ball, and they were just having fun. It was like me being that little boy in California where it didn't matter what was going on, what kind of stuff was happening in the home or at school or whatever. I could just play soccer. And so these kids were
Okay,
playing
that's nice.
barefoot and flip-flops on this dirt lot in East Aurora. And
Okay,
I was, yeah.
hang on just a minute, Jason, because you need to reposition because your phone is breaking up a little bit. And
Oh,
while you're
shoot.
doing
I'm
that,
sorry.
that's okay, but while you're doing that, I just want to quickly move forward and let you know that your journey from 2013 to today has gotten to the point that even our professional soccer team, the Colorado Rapids, is now behind you, and it's paying and with their 501(c), donating equipment and paying for transportation, because that's a problem with sports with kids today, is the parents, for whatever reason, are not able to consistently transport kids. So you go, you pick the kids up, and you take them over, you coach, and then you bring them, you drop them off and bring them back, and you do this consistently like clockwork. Now, soccer is a really big sport universally. It's not as much in America as maybe NFL football and that kind of thing, but kids all over the world, for the most part, can play soccer. And so I understand, you, of course, being a collegiate soccer player yourself, we were talking about why you would pick soccer of all sports, but it's easier for international kids to be able to relate to that game. So here we are now. We're going into 2020, Jason, and you have now this huge organization behind you and backing you up with these children that you've organized through a church mission program to go out and help these less fortunate kids. Here's my point. You really did take something that was an emptiness inside of your heart, and it didn't just make you strong. It made you powerful. There's a difference between strength and power, and I want everybody to hear me with this. You can have strength to get through things in your life, but a powerful person is someone who's going to go right back, look it in the eye, and go, "You didn't get me down because I'm out here, and guess what? Jason, you're everybody's dad." Maybe your one dream of having that natural born child never took place, but you're everybody's dad. I mean, you've got so many kids that look up to you as dad now. You have manifested something that is very powerful. And there's the difference. What do you have to say about that?
I think the term coach is undervalued. There's teachers and there's parents, but there's like the coach is the middle ground. Like they're the cool guy. They're the more you could be more honest. You could be more open to. Like I tell so many people, you can teach more about life to a teenage boy on the soccer field than you can in the classroom or on the bus on the way somewhere. I was that boy, and I'm bumped into these boys all the time where like I now have a purpose, and these kids are desiring purpose. They are desiring direction. They're desiring hope. They're desiring to be acknowledged. And so we are able to do that through the game of soccer. And if it wasn't for soccer, we wouldn't have had this. It would just be some random group of people doing stuff. Because I don't have to explain my background. I don't have to explain your background. I don't even know what you're doing yesterday, but we can show up and we can play this game that we love together and just forget about it. And then look back and be like, you know what? If I was rushing in life so much, I would have missed the important people in my life. If I was dribbling so fast with that ball, I could have went right out of bounds. And so sometimes we get so caught up in doing things fast and making quick decisions when sometimes you got to slow down and have control of that soccer ball have control
Okay.
of the strategy in life, have control of what I want to do in the classroom, what I want to do with my life. And so those
I'm
values that you
running
learn, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I tell you what, you're pretty
You
good
get me excited.
Jason.
You get me excited.
I tell you, you're pretty good. All right, listen, I just want to really hammer home, ladies and gentlemen, the difference between strength and powerful. You can be strong to get through the hard times in your life. A lot of people, most everybody can do that with a little bit of discipline and focus. But can you be powerful? Can you go out and make a difference in the arena, as in the same arena that you were attacked in, to make a difference in the lives of other people? That, ladies and gentlemen, is power. And not only did you have power over the circumstances, but you had power over whatever the enemy put on your plate and said, you cannot do this. That's powerful, to go back and go, yes, I can, enemy. Devil, you're a liar. I can go back and I can have power and I can do this anyway, even if you tell me I can't. One of the greatest lessons, I think, that I've ever come to realize in my life, Jason, and your example amplifies that. Quickly, I want you to let me know how people can help you or get a hold of you if they have any questions or want to help you out. Give me some kind of contact info, friend.
Absolutely. So we don't have a website right now because I don't have anyone to make me one. But we do have the domain. I have an email address. Our program is called Niyako Soccer Club. That's N-I-Y-A-K-K-O Soccer Club. You can find us on Facebook. You can email me at jason@niyakosoccer.org. We are in Aurora playing at Del Mar Park every Saturday, probably forever. Donations of equipment is always great. If you want to top off our gas tank, that would be terrific. If you just want to pray for us, if you want to come cheer us on when we play at games, because my boys don't have family showing up, but if you guys showed up, Niyako is the Burmese word for brother. So family is one of our core values. And so whatever you do for your own son, for your own nephew, think of us because we need it.
Very good. Very good. And ladies and gentlemen, like I said, if you can't, you know, if you don't have money, it's okay. You still have time to pray.
So share our story. Maybe you know someone with money. You never know. You might have connections with soccer balls. Who knows?
Here's the difference between strength and power. A lot of people are strong, and they may not have money. But what makes you powerful is that you're willing to go in hands-on and make a difference in the lives and not necessarily just do a donation at Thanksgiving or a donation at Christmas. Listen, I'm not against people who want to give out toys to needy kids at Christmas. Don't get me wrong. But I did this for many, 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 many years. And these kids don't remember that toy within 6 to 9 months. But they're always going to remember someone who came in and mentored them and changed their life. And that's what is powerful. Not so much once a year to pick up a toy, but to literally think about how you can expend your time to be powerful and make a difference of other people's lives who really don't have that power source right now. I started a program in martial arts in the ghetto. I ended up with instructors who have taken over. They're showing how powerful they are, and some of these people were street people who are literally going back now and teaching less fortunate kids. That's looking your circumstance in the eye and going, devil, you didn't get me down, man. I'm still standing, and I'm powerful. Jason, I appreciate you being with us. You know, God bless you, everybody, as we're in the holiday season. Just remember, holidays come and go, but being powerful is always going to be around. If you're going to expend the time and apply the discipline and focus to do it. That's this week on the Eden Assignment as we move forward to be powerful. And I will see you guys next time. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you.
Take care. Okay, bye-bye.
Blog Talk Radio.